Good morning, everyone. Paul Cooper's my name. I'm the pastor here at Trinity Church in Campbelltown, and really happy Mother's Day to all of you. Great to see you all here again. And yeah, as Jack said, of course, a great day of joy for many, and for some, a really challenging day. I want to just acknowledge that. And I think today is a great day, isn't it, for us to just reflect on God and his creation of new life. And of course, he does that through mothers, doesn't he? So great opportunity for all of us to just pause and reflect on God's gift to us of new life and the way that he does that. So please do hang around today. Hopefully we can offer you a coffee. We'll see what happens there with the machine. Otherwise, that'll be off for a service this week. But we do have lots of lemonade and limonade over there, so feel free to help yourselves to that. And of course, the photo booth at the back, so get stuck into all of those things after the service. That would be fantastic. Well, how about we pray as we begin and get into this letter to the Philippians? Heavenly Father, we do thank you for today, a day when we reflect on our mums, the hard task that they have, and the wonderful way that you work through them. Father, we pray this morning that you would help us to focus on you and on your word. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I was looking at the beginning of Philippians, at this passage that we're looking at this morning, preparing for today. And I was thinking, you know, I really should have maybe paused our sermon series and just done something, you know, specifically on mums, given that it's Mother's Day. And then I realised, actually, the Apostle Paul, he wrote this letter, and he had a mum. And there's nothing written about Paul's mum in the Bible or anywhere that I'm aware of, so we don't know anything about her, but we know that he had one. And so, on this Mother's Day, I'm very thankful to that mum, because Philippians is one of my favourite parts of the Bible. And so, there you go, that's my link between Philippians and Mother's Day, as we look at that this morning. And this letter to the Philippians, it's got heaps and heaps to say about the gospel. And as I said just before we prayed, Mother's Day makes me think of creation, makes me think of new life, God's hand in all of that. Of course, mothers are a vital part of the way God creates new life, aren't they? But while God is our creator, he is the one who gives life, we do all ignore him, don't we? And we try and live life our own way, just pushing God to one side. That's what sin is. And God, our creator God, isn't going to let us get away with that. And so we do need forgiveness for sin. We need that. And what the gospel tells us is that we can be forgiven. It tells us that God's son Jesus died in our place, that he rose again, and that he paid that price for us, and we just need to believe that he did it and trust him. And so Paul, who had a mum, wrote this letter, and he explains exactly that. This letter is all about the gospel. And in this first few verses, these first 11 verses this morning, Paul talks about this partnership in the gospel that he has with this church in Philippi. This partnership, and it's a partnership, he goes on to explain it. It's far better than any partnership in any human endeavor. And so if you're here this morning and you believe in Jesus, that has implications for us, because that's a partnership that we're part of too. And if you're here this morning and you don't yet trust Jesus, it still has implications for you. And I hope that by the time we finish this morning, you'll see why this partnership is far better than partnership in any human endeavor, and why it's worth you looking at it just a little bit closer. Well, just to orientate you to this letter as we get into this, the Apostle Paul, he established this church in Philippi. I'm going to have to turn around and glance every now and again because my mobile screen here doesn't seem to be working. So it's a day for technical gremlins, isn't it? But Paul, he established this church in Philippi. That was is in Macedonia. You can see it there on the screen with the red circle. And if you remember back in Acts in the Bible, Acts chapter 16, it records Paul going to Philippi. It's a city in the Roman Empire. He meets some women there in a place of prayer, and at least one of them becomes a believer in Jesus when he tells her the gospel. And while Paul's there, he gets himself in a bit of trouble, as seems to happen for Paul, and he lands in jail. But that doesn't stop him. The jailer hears the gospel from Paul, and he believes. And these people, they form the beginning of this church in Philippi. And it's to that church that Paul writes this letter. And this time he's in jail again, but most likely a jail in Rome. And at the very beginning of the letter, if you just recall the words there that Abby spoke to us as she was reading, and they're there on your handouts as well. First thing that we notice at the very beginning of the letter is that Paul and Timothy are identified as servants of Christ Jesus, aren't they? And the letter is addressed to God's holy people in Christ Jesus. That's how Paul addresses the letter. And he says, together with the overseers and the deacons. And the overseers and the deacons, they're leaders in the church there. And so already we see Paul is saying that himself, Timothy, the church leaders, and all the rest of the church, all being named together in Christ Jesus. No one's being singled out there in any special way. They're all together in Christ Jesus. They're all together in Christ Jesus. And they're together in him because of what Paul writes in verse 2. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. See, it's from God that grace is extended to us. And forgiveness is through faith in Jesus. And it's only through forgiveness in Jesus that we can have peace with God. You have to be forgiven for doing the wrong thing by God if you're going to have peace with him. And that's what God gives us by his grace. Forgiveness and peace with him through faith in Jesus. So do you see, right at the beginning of this letter, these first few lines, the Apostle Paul, he outlines the gospel and he makes it very clear. They are all in Jesus together. And see, if we have been saved by Jesus through faith, then we've been saved from the very same thing, our own sin. And what that means is that we're all together in Jesus. No one's better than anyone else. We're all just as bad as each other and just as thankful to Jesus for what he did for us. See, the gospel is this great equalizer. We're all equals in the gospel. And Paul here, he's about to talk about this partnership in the gospel that he has with the Philippians, a very equal partnership. No one has a majority share in this partnership. No one's better qualified than anyone else to be partners. They're all in it together, equally. And that's very relevant to us, isn't it? Like, we are a group of people that have come from all different places in just 9 weeks. And we all have different gifts and different functions in our gathering and in our church. But we're all together in Christ Jesus. We are equals in this gospel partnership as well. And Paul goes on to explain this gospel partnership that he has with the church in Philippi. It's working so far. That's good, isn't it? He goes on to explain the gospel partnership he has with this church. From verse 3, have a look at verse 3 with me. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of the partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident in this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on until completion, carry it on to completion. Until the day of Christ Jesus. Now think back to the situation that Paul is in here. He is imprisoned. He's under arrest in Rome. He's chained. His freedom's been taken away from him. And so it's odd, don't you think, that the first thing that Paul has to say in this letter is how full of joy he is. So full of joy in every prayer that he has for them. And he thanks God because of their partnership in the gospel. It just shows how important the gospel is for Paul. And he has and he feels this very close relationship with the church there in Philippi because of their participation in this most important thing. It's the work of the gospel. And notice also, it's the Philippians partnering with Paul that he's talking about, isn't it? The Philippians and their partnership with him in the gospel. But he doesn't actually thank the Philippians. He thanks God. Because it's all God's work. And God, he started this work in them. They're saved in Jesus and they're living out this new reality as they partner in the gospel. But the work that God's doing in them isn't finished yet. It won't be finished until Jesus returns. That's the day of Christ Jesus that Paul writes about there. It won't be finished until Jesus returns, when all of this ends on that day of judgment. And for those who believe, salvation. And so Paul sees their participation in the gospel with him, and he's absolutely sure that they will be there right alongside him on the last day, completed in Jesus. But what that means is, this isn't a perfect partnership, is it? It can't be perfect, because he's just said this is a partnership with people who are not complete. Now, I'm not sure about you. I'm sure you have heard about this. I mean, I all the time hear about partnerships out there, business partnerships, many sorts of partnerships that go very badly because people aren't perfect. Now, does anyone here like shopping at Aldi? Seems like an odd question at that point, doesn't it? Anyway, I do. If I have to go shopping for groceries, I would much rather be sent to Aldi than anywhere else. And the reason is they often have power tools down the centre aisle. And just this week, my wife Bronwyn sent me to get Turkish bread. And I came home with two packets of Turkish bread, a belt sander and a set of ratchet spanners. Now, how good a grocery store is Aldi? And Aldi exists the way we know it because two brothers had a partnership that went badly. They had a disagreement. Here they are on the screen. This is Carl and Theo Albrecht. They're partners. They were partners. They're brothers. They inherited their mother's corner store in Germany. This is what it looked like. Anyway, as the years rolled on, they had a disagreement about whether they should sell cigarettes or not. And it wasn't over health concerns. One of the brothers was worried that it would increase shoplifting. And so in the end, they split apart. It was fairly amicable, I think, this split. But they split apart, the partnership broke up, and we got Aldi with belt sanders and ratchet spanners, as we know today. But the thing is, it's not an uncommon story, that, is it? Often, partnerships don't go well because we aren't perfect, and partnerships fail. And this partnership with the Philippians and with Paul is not a partnership that's made up of perfect people either. But what's striking is that Paul is so full of joy about it, just the same. And it's because he knows that this is a God-given partnership. That's what it is. And they're doing God's work. And he knows that that is something that will not fail. It will not fail. It's God's work. And so he says here in verse 7, "It's right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me." But can you feel the affection that he pours out in this letter for this gathering in Philippi? God's grace has brought them together in Jesus, and he loves them for it. Now, often when people work together towards a common goal, you do feel a sense of affection for them, don't you, in the teamwork and the shared experience? You often feel that. Years ago, I was on a farm with my father-in-law and we were putting in strainer posts for a fence, the really big strainer posts. And it was horrible because there was this limestone sort of layer under the ground and we had to chip through it and use crowbars and stuff. And it was backbreaking work. But we were all striving towards this same goal of putting up this big fence. Hard not to feel some affection for him as you're working alongside towards this common goal. And Paul's affection for the Philippians, it's a bit like that. But it's so much greater. It's so much greater because it's a God-given partnership. And he says in verse 8, if you look at verse 8 there with me in your handouts, he says, "God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Can you feel that? He loves them with the love of Jesus. The love of Jesus. Jesus loved so much that he died to save us and bring us to God. Now, Paul was the one that originally went to Philippi, as I said, in Acts 16, it's documented for us. He originally went there and he told them about Jesus. So Paul did love them with the love of Jesus, didn't he? He did, because there's no greater act of love than to tell people that they can be saved through Jesus. And now that they've accepted Jesus, Paul is so thankful to God. He loves them the same way. See, Jesus loves. He loves us, and that's the ground of this partnership that they have. And it's the ground of the love that Paul has for them and that they have for Paul. And here, all of us at Trinity Church Campbelltown, well, none of us are perfect yet either. But we are part of this same God-given partnership. And it's because Jesus loves us. See, he's the ground of our partnership in the gospel. And he's the ground of the love that exists between all of us. And you can see it, can't you, in the way God has been using us. We came together from three different churches, and now 9 weeks in, a whole bunch of new people from a whole bunch of other places. Now, where else in all of society would you find a group of disparate people like that who don't know each other, who are generally quite happy with the way things are, and just up and go and leave things behind and come together in a brand new location like this with a brand new set of relationships to build, new midweek groups to settle into, and all the challenges and technical difficulties that go along with that? Where else would you see that? Because you see it done for the gospel. And you see it here. It's a partnership that's different to any human partnership. And it's because God has given it to us. If you think back over these 9 weeks and look how far we've come, all the new relationships that have been formed, all the work that we've done together, all the groups that are starting to build these real friendships with each other, the support that we're already providing to each other. Like, it's only been 9 weeks, and 6 weeks actually, since the public launch. See, what Paul describes here in this letter is it's not a silent partnership. He's talking about a participation in something. And we have sure been participating, haven't we? This church is a great expression of partnering in the gospel. You are a great expression of partnering in the gospel. And it's because of God. And so now, as things settle somewhat and we get to take half a breath, let's make sure that we don't rest for too long. You know, it would be easy to stop and become a silent partner. Let's make sure we continue to be an active partner in the gospel. So there's no greater act of love than to tell people that they can be saved through Jesus. And that is the whole reason that we came together, isn't it, and planted this church. Now, at the end of our service today, Jack is going to be talking about the Life series during announcements. That runs in June. That's one way to be active in this partnership. Another way is to be involved in some of the different community outreach programs that we've got up and running. There's lots of ways to get involved and be an active partner. So let's continue to do that together. Let's be active partners in the gospel and be intentional, each one of us. And in this last section of this passage this morning, these last few verses, Paul prays for the Philippians. And what he prays for is that they would bear gospel fruit. And he says this from verse 9. He says, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God." Now, righteousness is to be right with God, isn't it? That's what righteousness means, to be right with God. And we are made right with God through faith in Jesus. And so it's the fruit or the outcome of being right with God. That's what Paul's praying for them here. It's love. Now notice, he doesn't stipulate here, does he? Love for God or love for each other. It's all of those things. And why? Well, he prays it so that they might be able to work out or discern what's best. That from that they may have an increased knowledge and insight. And that makes sense, doesn't it? As you love someone more and more and you develop a closer and closer relationship with them, you understand them. So Paul here, he doesn't pray that they'd get smarter and smarter. And what he prays is that they would grow in love because of what Jesus has done. Because as they grow in love, they will grow in their understanding of God, and they'll grow in their understanding of each other. They'll have a growing care for God and a growing care for each other. They'll make better decisions about what's right and what's not, what glorifies God and what doesn't. And that is the opposite, isn't it, in many respects, of many human partnerships. I worked for a couple of different businesses before I went into full-time ministry, and I got involved in different partnerships of types. There were mergers of businesses and partnering of teams over the years. And then the thing that was normally considered valuable in those was knowledge. Knowledge of how the partnership was going to work. And normally we had very long agreements. And the better you knew those, well, the better you could manage your own interests or the interests of the company that you represented. But that's not how this partnership in the gospel works. Now, this partnership, it's love that's most important. Because as it grows, our understanding of being right with God will grow. And we will be more able to prepare ourselves for the day of Christ, confident that we are pure and blameless because of faith in Him. And so do pray, won't you, for Trinity Church Campbelltown, our church, just as Paul does here for the church in Philippi. Pray that our love for God would overflow. Pray that our love for people would overflow. My prayer is that people come in those doors for the first time, they would be struck by our love for God. They would be struck by our love for each other. That they would be struck by our love for them. And that our depth of insight in how we live, how we treat others, how we treat them, that would mark us out as different. Because that's what love does. Why don't we pray for those things right now? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for bringing us together in Jesus. We thank you for knowing that we are pure and blameless through faith in Him. And Father, we ask that you would help us to grow more and more in love, that it might abound in knowledge and a depth of insight, and that we might live that out in a way that glorifies you. And Father, we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.